Good morning and welcome to the Roundtable and our book pick segment for this Tuesday morning. We love Tuesdays when we welcome bookstores from our family of independents who dispense terrific advice on books to pick up and enjoy. This morning, Diane Ortman from the Chatham Bookstore join us to present a fine list of books for these final days of winter. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Diane Ortman back to the Roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Do you want to introduce your daughters? You brought your daughters with you.
I did. Bring your daughters to work day, kind of.
That's early.
Right.
All right. Now, you have microphones in front of you, so you can say hi to us.
Hello.
Okay. So we start with Tess. Mm-hmm. She is the older of the two.
Yeah. How old? Go ahead, honey. I'm sorry.
I'm 13. I'll be 14 in about a month.
Excellent. We'll look forward to that. And?
I'm Louise, and I'm 10.
You're 10. Louise and 10. Excellent. I must say that I think Diane is far more nervous about having her kids here than I am. But we're thrilled to have them here, and they can do whatever they want. The mics will turn off now. They can make whatever noise they want.
All right. Excellent.
It will be fine. So as long as you can get started. All right. So
moving along.
Let's begin with great books.
Okay. So the first book I'm going to talk about is Just Mercy by Bryan Stevenson. He is the executive director of the Equal Justice Institute, and some books are good and some books are important, and this book is both of those. His, first of all, a little bit more about the author. He is, he's worked to free scores of people from wrongful or excessive punishment, and he's argued 5 times before the Supreme Court.
Wow.
Yeah, he's quite a man. And he writes about his experiences representing, you know, some of these people. The main story is about a man, Walter McMillan, and he was on death row in the 80s for killing a young white woman. His story is outrageous. He was at a church fundraiser with his family when the woman in question was murdered. Mm. And the prosecutors and law enforcement just ignored all the evidence supporting his innocence. He was put on death row as he was waiting for trial. That's where he was held. The jury came back with a life in prison conviction, and the judge, whose name was something like Robert E. Lee Kelly, overturned that conviction and sentenced him to death. If you haven't figured out already, Walter was a black man, so in Alabama at this time. And it's just an outrageous story, and it's disturbing, and it's disturbing what happened in our justice system. And, you know, it also touches on the mass incarceration of young black men and the author's own experiences dealing with law enforcement in the South. It's really, really an important book, and I feel like it's one of those books that everybody should read.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And it's by
Bryan Stevenson.
Bryan Stevenson, Just Mercy.
Right. Excellent. He also has a great TED Talks, too, if anyone wants to find
check
out more
that
about
out.
It. Yeah.
Excellent. By Bryan Stevenson, it's Bryan.
Yes.
All right.
Okay, my second book is H is for Hawk. And it's by Helen MacDonald. And this is absolutely the must-read book of 2015.
There you go.
It's, you know, getting all kinds of awards, and it's an unusual book. It's a memoir about Helen MacDonald's training of a goshawk. And she takes this on as a way of processing her grief at the very sudden death of her beloved father. So she loses her father. She's just completely shell-shocked, and she kind of retreats for about 4 months with this baby goshawk and starts training it. At the same time, she's also telling the story of T.H. White, who wrote The Once and Future King.
Yes.
Who also trained a goshawk. He did it for very different reasons. He was a fairly troubled man, disturbed. He had impulses towards sadism, and he kind of withdrew from society with his goshawk. So she's also been, you know, obsessed with T.H. White for a long time. And
a little more darkness there.
Yeah, it's dark, but it's also hopeful. You know, and she is such an incredible writer. I just want to read this one passage, if you don't mind, just to show the beauty of her writing.
Yes.
Old England is an imaginary place, a landscape built from words, woodcuts, films, paintings, picturesque engravings. It is a place imagined by people, and people do not live very long or look very hard. We are very bad at scale. The things that live in the soil are too small to care about, climate change too large to imagine. We are bad at time, too. We cannot remember what lived here before we did. We cannot love what is not, nor can we imagine what will be different when we are dead. We live out our 70 and tie our knots and lines only to ourselves. We take solace in pictures, and we wipe the hills of history.
Well, that's beautiful.
Yeah. So many passages like that,
wow,
that you just pause and you just have to process.
Good stuff.
Yeah. So that's my must-read choice.
H is for Hawk. It is not a Sue Grafton novel. H is for
I
Hawk.
I know. I wonder about the choice of the title.
Helen McDonald.
Yeah. Okay. My third book is The Whites by Richard Price, written as Harry Brandt. Richard Price is the author of Clockers, and he also wrote for the TV show The Wire.
Yep.
So we know he can tell a good detective story, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So this story takes place in New York City, and Billy Graves is the hero of the story. He was once a part of a group of detectives that called themselves the Wild Geese when they were young and kind of out, you know, taking the Bronx by storm. But they all have their nemesis that have got away from them, the ones that were guilty and got away. And that's what the title refers to. Those are the Whites.
Yes.
So suddenly, 20 years later in Billy Graves' life, who is still a detective, the others are not. They've moved on. The Whites start showing up, and strange things start happening. So it's a real gritty page turner, and it's the type of book you get on the couch with for a day and just whip through it. It's a good read.
It is. It's Richard Price writing as Harry Brandt, which is sort of a story in and of itself. We're not really even he doesn't seem to be all that thrilled with it, quite frankly. But it is what it is.
It's still Richard Price.
It's still Richard Price, and I just want to make a note of it. But we're going to be doing our book show. We're going to be doing a live taping at the Morton Memorial Library in Rhinecliff on Thursday with Richard Price.
Oh, great.
And I'll be interviewing him and it'll be a book show taping. And so we're very happy about that. So if you want to find out more about I just finished the book. It's amazing stuff.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's The Whites by Richard Price. And again, you can, of course, get the book at Chatham Bookstore. And also, check us out. The event will be at the Morton Memorial Library in Rhinecliff on Thursday night at 7 o'clock. Next,
I have A History of Loneliness by John Boyne. He wrote The Boy in the Striped Pajamas. And this time he takes on the priesthood in Ireland. The narrator of the book is Odrin Yates. And when he was young, he had a family tragedy that may have led his mother to think that he had a vocation to be a priest. Which he wholeheartedly embraced and takes on, and he enters the seminary in 1972. The problems for him start when he has to leave the school that he's been in for 20 years, where he's kind of isolated himself from the world in the library of the school, and then go back out. He's placed in a church, and it's a different Ireland. The church is seen differently than it was when he started, and people respected him just because he wore the collar. And he's facing, you know, anger and hatred and his own culpability in being a part of an institution that has failed the people that have served them and what is his part in it by ignoring it or turning the other way.
Wow.
Yeah. It was good.
And this is, the author is?
John Boyne.
John Boyne, A History of Loneliness, and sounds amazing.
Yeah,
excellent.
It's good.
John Boyne, A History of Loneliness.
Thought-provoking.
Next.
Next, I'm going to do Trigger Warnings by Neil Gaiman.
Yep.
Who I absolutely love.
Yes.
I think he's so great. Anybody that can write children's books about, you know, a boy growing up in a cemetery being raised by ghosts,
yeah,
and Coraline. That's
good
how
stuff.
A lot of parents know him.
Right.
So this is a book of stories, and it's called Trigger Warnings. And it's actually called Trigger Warnings, Short Fictions and Disturbances.
Cool.
Yeah. And I just, one of the things I love about him is that he's so clever and witty. And this is in the introduction of the book. I firmly believe that short story collections should be the same sort of thing all the way through. They should not hodgepodge and willy-nilly assemble stories that were obviously not intended to sit between the same covers. They should not, in short, contain horror and ghost stories, science fiction and fairy tales, fabulism and poetry, all in the same place. They should be respectable. This collection fails this test. For this failure, as for so much, I request your indulgence and forgiveness, and hope only that somewhere in these pages you may encounter a story you might otherwise never have heard.
Awesome.
How could you not have that by your bedside table at night,
right?
He's so great. Just to go through some of his stories. He is great.
The new collection, Trigger Warnings by Neil Gaiman.
Time.
We have time for one more.
One
Maybe
more.
Maybe even two, depending on.
Well,
we have two
I'd like
minutes.
To talk about an event that
oh,
we're
yes.
having.
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
Okay. Yes.
So, right now, we are having an art exhibit. Three women who are part of the Columbia County Plein Air Art Club. And plein is spelled P L E I N. And that's a French expression that means in the open air.
Yep.
So, they're painting outdoors with their subject in, you know, in full view of them. Their names are Arlene Bohm, Robin Guthridge, and Fran Haley. And they're beautiful works. I have to say, I actually bought one. I'm so excited about that. Their beautiful works are on exhibit through our store through April 30th. And we're having a reception Friday, March 13th, this Friday, from 5 to 7 for them.
Excellent. 5 to 7. On Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find out more information by going to the website.
Yeah, there's a picture of one of the paintings on our website, so you can.
And the website is
ChathamBookstore.com. Yeah.
Yeah, ChathamBookstore.com.
Yep.
Better yet, go visit them. It's 27 Main Street in Chatham. 27 Main Street in Chatham. Tess and Louise, didn't your mom do a great job?
Yes.
Yes, she did. I know you're proud of her. We're delighted that you were with us as well. It's nice to have guests in the studio.
Yeah,
so
it goes
before. So thank you very much for bringing them along. That was a delight to meet
them.
Thank you. Diane Ortman, thank you so much. Again, check out the Chatham Bookstore in Chatham, 27 Main Street. Go to chathambookstore.com for more information about their great event that is happening on Friday night. And also, you can check out the full book list there of all the great stuff that Diane talked about this morning, and you can also find it on our website, wamc.org/roundtable. Diane, Tess, and Louise, thank you very much for
thank
being
you.
Here. Great to see you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.